Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and it is Tuesday, so we have our first interview of the week, our first episode and interview of the week. This week, I am interviewing Michelle Hazen, who is the author of, we're going to be talking about A Cruel Kind of Beautiful is the book that we're talking about most today, but she actually has a series. It is the Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll series. So this is it's book one, but there's also a prequel, which is listed as 0.5 in the series. That is called Filmy. And then the second book is also out. That came out just in the last month or so, and that is called Playing the Pauses. So Michelle talks not only about A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, but she also talks about that prequel, the sequel, and then there are three other books also in this series. So it's a six-part series and talks about there are three members of the band in this, you know, Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll series. So each member of the band gets a book, and then there are, there's the prequel, and then there are a couple of novellas to round out that series. And she talks more about that. So A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, the one we're talking most about today, is, and the one that I have copies to give away, I should put that in there. So we do have copies of A Cruel Kind of Beautiful to give away. Stay tuned at the end of the podcast, because we're changing a little bit about how to enter those giveaways. So if you're used to me saying one thing, I'm going to be saying it a little bit differently this time. So stay tuned to the end and find out how you can enter to win a copy of A Cruel Kind of Beautiful. And now you probably want to know, well, Sarah, what the heck is this book about? Why won't you tell me what this book is about? And this book is about Jarrah and Jacob. Jarrah is, it's from Jarrah's perspective. It's first person from Jarrah's perspective. Jarrah McKnight loves music, swoons for hot guys, but sucks at sex. Jacob Tate is her perfect storm, a pun-loving nude model with a heart as big as his record collection. When a newspaper delivery accident lands him in her living room, he's almost tempting enough to make her forget she's never been able to please a man, in bed or out of it. Sure, he laughs at her obscure jokes, and he'll even accept a PG rating if it means he gets time with her, but he's also hiding something, and it has everything to do with the off-limits room in his apartment. Jarrah pours all of her confusion and longing into her drum kit, which pays off when her band lands the record deal of their dreams. Except, just like Jacob, it might be too good to come without a catch. She doesn't know if her music is good enough to attract a better contract, or if she's enough to tempt a man like Jacob to give up his secrets, even if they could fix her problems between the sheets. But if this rocker girl is too afraid to bet on herself, she might just end up playing to an empty house. So that is the description on the back of A Cruel Kind of Beautiful. And if you were to give just a really quick synopsis of this book, I mean, the tagline of this book is, if you can't get to the big O, can you get to the happily ever after? And so you might think, oh, this is just a book about a 20-something college student who has trouble in bed, she can't orgasm with a partner, etc. Not something I'm interested in. And yes, that is a part of this book. It's a part of Jarrah's character, but it is so much bigger than that. It's tied up with so many other things. And so Jarrah as a character is very real, very human. She's got a lot of complexities, and you get to know her throughout the book. Jacob also has a lot of complexities. You know, there's secrets hinted at on the description. And so they're young, they meet, they really have to get to know one another, have to learn to trust one another, because they've both got things that they are struggling with in their lives. And they have to figure out how to You know, they're not there to fix each other. This relationship is about figuring things out on their own, but also so that they can then be a couple together. So it's a romance, but you've also got that kind of edge with the band. I love that the drummer is a girl, is a female. That's awesome. Go Jera. So she's got two male bandmates, and as I said, they each get their own books coming up, Danny and Jax. So that is a very brief description of A Cruel Kind of Beautiful. I liked both of these characters, both Jera and Jacob. As I said, they're both complex. They're both very human. I like the way Michelle writes because it is first person from Jera's perspective. So you get a lot of that inner monologue from Jera, and she has some of that same kind of inner monologue that I have where you're kind of talking to yourself or, you know, like, what the heck are you doing? What did you just do that for? Except that Michelle writes that much better than my inner monologue can ever actually say it. So I greatly appreciate Michelle's writing style, and I am looking forward to reading the rest of the series so that I can get to know the other members of the band a little bit better, but also keep learning more about where Jera and Jacob's relationship is going, because of course they'll still be at least secondary characters in those other books. And then she said that the novella that's coming out in September, it's kind of an epilogue. It's an epilogue that kind of wraps everything up, so you get to see what happens to all three of the couples after they're happily ever after. And as I say in the interview, I love epilogues. When I love a book, when I love characters, I don't want to leave them. And so if you know, for books and characters that I love, you could give me an epilogue that outlined every detail of their lives until they died, and maybe every detail of the next few generations of their lives. I just want to know, are they okay? What's going on with them? So thanks, Michelle, for your epilogue. Really appreciate that. I'm going to stop talking now and let Michelle tell you more about her books and her writing style. So let's get right to that interview with Michelle Hazen. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. We are here to talk about your book, A Cruel Kind of Beautiful. Before we do that, though, I would love for my listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So if you could tell us a little bit about your life, whatever you're comfortable sharing, that would be great.
This is always a hard question to answer for me, but I think the thing that helps people understand me the fastest is to tell them that I'm nomadic. In college, I couldn't really seem to work enough to pay my bills and have enough time left over to do the things that I was passionate about. So instead of not paying my bills or stopping doing anything that I actually cared about, I moved into a tent for 4 years so that I didn't have to pay rent or utilities, and so I could work less and make more time for what I loved.
Oh, wow. Did you go to college in a warm climate?
That was after college.
Oh, okay.
I went to college in Idaho. It was afterwards when I had my degree and I was, you know, embarking on my career and life was supposed to start. And I was like, huh, this isn't what I had pictured. Nowadays I have a roof again, but I kind of continue to live in a tiny apartment. And I work 4 jobs with flexible schedules so that I can continue to prioritize and do the things that matter most to me.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned when we were emailing before that you had a cross-country trip planned that went well, I hope.
Yeah, we just got back from New Orleans. My husband and I did kind of a month-long writer's retreat down there. We both work from home, and so every now and again, it's nice. When you work from home, you spend, like, a lot of time in your apartment.
Right.
So sometimes it's nice to work from home somewhere else for a little while.
Sure. Well, great. So tell us about the book, A Cruel Kind of Beautiful.
A Cruel Kind of Beautiful follows a drummer named Jera. She's in college. And you asked about the inspiration for the story. I think instead of summarizing the story, it might actually be a little bit easier to talk about the inspiration behind it.
Mm-hmm.
To give people an idea about what it's about. But I really like writing love stories, but I get bored pretty quickly with things that have already been done before. I don't want to repeat what's already been done before, but when it comes to love stories, I mean, there's not too awful much that's new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have been writing about that for a long time. So I was thinking about it. And the one thing that never happens in romance is bad sex.
Very true.
So I wanted, yes. And I didn't want to write necessarily a guy that was bad at sex, because I think there's plenty of that in the real world. But I wrote about a girl who couldn't reach orgasm and kind of the ups and downs of her finding love and then kind of figuring out how to get to good sex from there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to write about rock stars, but I didn't really want to write about ones that were almost already famous. I wanted to write about kind of like all the icky, soul-crushing stuff that happens as you're trying to claw your way to the top.
Right, right. So, yeah, Jaira is in a band, and they are all early 20s and still struggling to be recognized outside Portland, which is where this story takes place. Talk a little bit more about Jaira. What about her as a main character do you think will resonate with readers?
The thing I like about Jaira is she's not airbrushed. She's somebody that you can picture yourself being because she goes through all those awkward little moments where you're like, oh my God, this never happens to other people.
Yeah, she definitely has her issues. I mean, everyone does. I don't mean that in a negative way. So she's very human, which is great. I mean, it's kind of like you writing about the romance in terms of her inability. she has trouble reaching orgasm with a partner, and that's so human that you rarely see that portrayed. It's always maybe not perfect, but kind of leading up to that perfect moment with a couple.
Yeah, and I mean, I think in romances it kind of assumes that if you have great chemistry with somebody and you care about them, that the first time you're together is going to be like this earth-shattering, there's going to be little diamonds around the edges of the picture and everything's going to be amazing. But I think in real life, most people find that the first time with a new person, it's kind of like, you know, it's a little bit awkward and you're fumbling and
right.
You're trying to figure out, you know, what they like and what you like without totally asking and breaking the mood.
Right. And in romance novels, they always seem to manage to climax together, perfectly timed.
So, at the exact same moment. Yes, yeah. Because it's really hard to write it any other way.
Well, that's true.
Right. Yeah, one of the challenges I set for myself in the book was to show her struggle and to be honest about it. But, I mean, I'm not writing a textbook. People are here for fun. And I wanted to see if I could write a sex scene, where the woman doesn't manage to climax, but it's still really sexy and hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I pulled it off. It was pretty tough. There's a few scenes where it's like they're trying to get there, but it's still sexy, but it's not everything works perfectly.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we are talking about this a lot, but for people who are listening, this is a novel. It's a little over 300 pages. It's not all sex. I mean, that's a part of it, but it's not like every other scene is a sex scene. So if you're thinking that, stop thinking that. There's lots and lots of other things that happen in this book as well.
Yeah, that is a good thing to clarify, because the central, you know, conflict is about sex. But yeah, they actually spend most of the book kind of becoming friends and getting to know each other, because, you know, she has no confidence in herself in bed because of her ex-boyfriends. And so she doesn't really want to go there again. She doesn't want to date. And so instead, she ends up spending time with Jacob as a friend first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Can you tell us a little bit about Jaira's name? It's an acronym. So did you come up with the name first or the character first and then found the name?
So I had like a pretty good inkling of the character, but I can't start writing a character until I know their name. It defines so much about them and it really helps lock them in my head. And so I really wanted to write her and I needed the name to get going. And so my critique partner, Katie, actually came up with that name. We were texting back and forth about, you know, every name in the baby name book, throwing ideas around, and nothing was fitting. And as soon as she typed the name Jaira, which I'd never heard before in my life, I was like, that's it. That's her name. And about 4 seconds later, I knew it was an acronym of famous rock stars, because Jaira's father was a one-hit wonder rock star in the 80s. And so he named her after all of his favorites. It's an acronym for Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Roger Waters, and Art Garfunkel. And I knew that like immediately as soon as she said the name, and I was like, wow, how lucky is it that those, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to make up. I don't know how it happened. Really.
Right. That's amazing. I'm going to jump right in here because we do have to take our first break of the podcast, but I had to ask about Jaira's name because it is rather unique. I'd never heard that name before. And then when it's described in the book, because they do explain that it is an acronym that her father came up with. And I think Michelle writes that he didn't tell Jera's mother until Jera was something like two, that it was an acronym that he just thought it sounded, she just thought it sounded pretty. Anyway, I'm always fascinated by names and where they come from. And the fact that this was an acronym, I just found that interesting. And that's enough out of me about that. So we're going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, more about Michelle's writing, and more about the Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll series. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with Michelle Hazen, author of the Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll series, and we are talking mostly about her book, A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, but we're about to talk a little bit more about the rest of the books in the series, so let's get back to that interview. Are there any autobiographical elements in the story or in the characters?
Not too much of this one. A lot of Jera's sense of humor is similar to mine, but not too much else in the story.
Okay. And what kind of research did you do for this story?
I did a lot of research about female orgasmic dysfunction, both the kinds that where it's caused by physiological reasons and then also just psychological reasons or, you know, atmosphere reasons, kind of more regular stuff where you don't need a doctor's intervention, but it's still completely a problem. And it was terrifically depressing.
Oh, I bet.
Part of my research showed that 75% of women can't reach orgasm from intercourse alone. Additional stimulation required on that one, turns out.
Yep. Yeah, so obviously that was a big part of your research. Are you a musician, or did you have to research any of that part of the book?
No, that was so hard for me. I wrote a lot of vampire paranormal stuff for a while back in the day, and I write music about the same way that I wrote magic.
Okay.
You know, like something that I haven't experienced, but like I can picture it in my head. And then so I had to do a lot of research and ask a lot of questions about the details of like how you play things. And it's interesting. It's kind of hard to come up with the right question sometimes when you don't know an area super well. So I was always asking like, what are words that musicians use to each other to complement their playing of like a bass versus drums versus vocals? Like what do musicians say to each other? And I went to a ton of concerts, which was, you know, you got to suffer for your art. So, yeah, I did a lot of research. I had a lot of help from musician friends, for this series.
Okay, great. And then, this one came out, I think, about a year ago, and there's already a sequel that came out in March. Then that one is called Playing the Pauses. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Playing the Pauses follows the band's bassist, Danny. He's also a tattoo artist, and he is my favorite character in the whole series. I probably shouldn't say that, but he totally is. he's very bizarre and quiet and sexy and super fascinating. And he falls for their tour manager, Kate, who has been described by my reviewers as a competence porn.
Okay.
You know, you know that Cake song, Short Skirt, Long Jacket? That's completely her. Like, she is in charge of everything. She has everything running smoothly, but she is the furthest thing from uptight. She's just way fun, but she is great at her job.
Okay, great. Yeah, Danny is definitely an interesting character. He and Jera are best friends, which causes problems in both of their relationships occasionally because, you know, they understand each other better than anyone else in the world. I'm interested to get to know Danny a little bit more from his perspective. Is it written like this one is in first person from Danny's perspective?
That's actually an interesting question. I had to write it from Kate's perspective instead of Danny's because he thinks so weirdly that I didn't think romance readers would enjoy reading a book through his perspective.
Oh, interesting.
Jera thinks through everything. You know, she's thinking through why she's doing it and what's going on and what she thinks about it. And Danny doesn't do any of that. He's very instinctive. You know, he knows what he wants to do and he does it and he doesn't think about why. And so if you're reading from his perspective, you're very often confused about why he's doing what he's doing. And so it's easier to get to know him through the eyes of somebody who loves him. So it's an interesting book because you kind of get to fall in love with him through Kate's eyes, because that's all you get. You only get to see what she sees. And he does not explain himself very well, and he does a lot of interesting things that you don't know why he's doing them at first.
Right.
There's a little bit of mystery with that. Well, and also, so there's Cruel Kind of Beautiful, which is book one, and then there's Playing the Pauses, which is book two. And then I wrote a little prequel in between, which is book 0.5. So chronologically, it actually comes before A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, but it's way more fun to read after you've already met the whole band.
Okay.
It was a really fun project because it shows the band members before they met their significant others and before the series starts. And you get to see them playing this really, really seedy dive bar gig and horsing around with each other and being young. And it's told from the rotating perspectives of all three of the band members. So you do get a little peek at what Danny's perspective is like, and a pretty interesting secret about his personal life that you don't know in book one, because Jera doesn't know it. It's a secret from her too.
Okay.
But the fun thing about that project was you really see what each person is lacking in their life, what hole it really is left to be filled, what they need in their life. And then it's kind of fun to go back and read once you've read the whole series and see who they end up with, and all of the ways that their partners end up balancing them out, because you can see it all laid out in that prequel, but you can't appreciate all of it until all the books come out and you kind of read about what happens to all of them and where they end up and who they end up needing in their life.
Right. Interesting. So I'm going to assume, and they say you shouldn't assume, but I'm going to assume there's a third book about Jax.
Yeah, so it's actually a 6-piece series, and it's all coming out this year. I wrote it all ahead of time that I could publish quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the prequel I was just talking about. There's book one for Jera the drummer, book two for Danny the bassist. Book three is for Jax, the lead singer. But in between book two and three, there's a novella, because Danny and Kate needed not just one book, but they needed a novella.
Okay.
To show them kind of after their happily ever after, you know. I did what they don't normally show you in romance and showed what it was like in their relationship after the end of their book and what they struggled with and kind of the process by which not just you fall in love, but the process by which that love deepens when you go through struggles together.
Right, because, you know, the happily ever after is not always happy. I mean, you know, it can be.
I mean, it's just one moment. It's
right.
Kind of that moment where you pledge to be committed to each other, just like a wedding. And a lot of interesting stuff happens after the wedding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not all hearts and roses. And, you know, you have to deal with socks on the floor and arguing about everything from money to silly things. So.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, when you're talking about a band of rock stars that's getting progressively more famous as the series goes on, you know, their lifestyle isn't normal. They're not home at 5 every night. It's a very different kind of life. And she's a tour manager, so she has a very different kind of life too. So anyway, Danny and Kate get a book and a novella, and then there's Jax, the lead singer, and he gets book 3. And then after that, I did a little Christmas story, kind of acts as an epilogue for the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
I would call it like a short novella, and it's just going to be released on ebook after the series is all over. But it's a fun little look at the whole band at Christmas and tying up all the loose ends of the series and seeing everybody, you know, after it's all over.
Great. And will that come out, I assume, around Christmas?
A little bit before Christmas to keep up the publication schedule regular, but I think it's going to come out in September, and then I'll probably do another promotional push for it around Christmas time. Because I didn't want to make people wait, because it's such the epilogue for the whole series, you know, and there's a couple questions not answered in the books that are answered in the epilogue. So I didn't want to wait too much longer after Jax's book for that one.
Well, as a reader, I can say thank you for that, because I am always the kind of person who wants, 100 200, 300 page epilogue that just tells me what happens after the happily ever after. I want to know all the details.
I know, me too. I'm a huge epilogue person, and I got started on this epilogue and it kept getting longer and longer. I was like, oh goodness.
That's awesome. I love that. So you have written all six of these already. They're ready to go out. What are you working on right now?
So I'm actually writing a young adult book. It's my first one. And it's my first one that's not a central love story. There's a romantic subplot, but it's not primarily a romance. So it's new for me on a lot of levels, and it's been challenging in totally different ways than my other stuff, which has been fun. But it follows the teen actors in a dystopian TV show.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And do you have a timeline for that, when it might come out?
I don't yet. Okay. I don't yet.
And do you have a working title?
That is called Not Nothing.
Not Nothing. Okay, thank you for that. When did you start writing? Is it something that you've always wanted to do? Did you come upon it later in life? How did that process work for you?
I wrote a little bit when I was a kid. I would write mostly character lists of all the horses owned by characters. I just wanted to make up characters. I didn't even necessarily want to tell stories. I just wanted to make people up and also their horses.
Okay.
My mom has this little page and a half long story that I wrote when I was 9. And she put it in the safe after I wrote it and told everybody that would listen that I was going to be a famous author. And then, you know, I went to college for psychology, and the whole time she's telling everybody, like, my daughter is going to be a famous author. And then I went on to work in counseling, and then I moved to biology as a career. And the whole time she's like, my daughter is going to be a famous author. I have this story. It is in the safe. It is clear what the future holds. And so when I finally started writing books, she was like, I told you so.
Your mom is psychic.
Yeah, but I didn't actually write a whole book until after college. So that was 2005 was when I wrote my first book. I wrote three, and it got a little tough in there because I was living in a tent. I didn't have electricity. So I wrote my second book entirely by hand, and I've never managed to transcribe the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
So that was a pain. And then I got really serious about writing in 2012 when I started writing fan fiction, because fan fiction reviewers are delightful. And, you know, suddenly I was posting my stuff online and everybody was telling me how much they enjoyed it and they wanted more. And I thought, maybe I could do this for real. Like, maybe this would be a thing that I could really do. And they really gave me the confidence to try, which is important because it's hard. Writing is a hard, hard, hard career.
And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you will know that Michelle is not the first person to say that writing is a hard or difficult or complicated career, which is probably why I am a podcaster and not an author. I get to read the books that they write, and I very much appreciate authors and the work that they put in. At any rate, we do have to take our second break of the podcast. I know I jumped right in there and kind of in the middle of a topic, but when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more about what kind of fanfic that Michelle wrote and a bunch of other things. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with Michelle Hazen. As I said before the break, I jumped in with the break. It kind of not an awkward time, but at maybe an abrupt time. So my question coming forward might sound a little bit abrupt, but if you remember, she had just said that she wrote fanfic, and so I now ask her about the fanfic. So but it's just going to jump right into that interview. I'm just warning you so you have an idea. Let's get back to that interview. What kind of fanfic did you write?
I wrote Vampire Diaries fanfic, a lot of it. And weirdly, I wrote about 1 million words of Vampire Diaries fanfiction. And then it became legal to publish it in books if you were writing for the Vampire Diaries, because that copyright holder had an agreement with Amazon to publish through their Kindle Worlds program as real books and sell them to people.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, you share the royalties with the copyright holder. And so I did that, and that was super fun. So I've had a really weird entry to publishing.
Yeah.
Most people don't know what Kindle Worlds are. A lot of people haven't heard of fan fiction, but I published 8 books of fan fiction before I ever got into the original publishing side of things.
That's fascinating. Was your fanfic, so your fanfic was based on the Vampire Diaries, the books, rather than the television show?
No, it was based on the television show, very different
okay.
universe.
Okay.
And then since then, I've written a little bit of Gilmore Girls fan fiction and a little bit of Walking Dead fan fiction.
Oh, fun. Okay. Interesting. I love that. When it comes to writing, do you have a favorite thing about the process?
I love that moment when I get inspired and I have no idea what happens next. Like, I'll just be typing and I'll be watching my fingers type and I don't know what's going to happen in my book, but something knows, and it's sort of typing for me. It's crazy. In chapter 1 of A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, Jacob does something really surprising. And when I typed it, I had no idea why he did it or the story behind it. And I had to kind of write the book and find out along with the reader what he was hiding and what prompted him to do that in the first chapter. And it was really fun finding it out.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I think so often when we read books, we just assume that the author has this very detailed outline in their head and, you know, they just write straight through and the story goes as they plan. But the more I talk to authors, the more I find out that characters do stuff all the time without the author's permission or knowledge.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the most, I mean, there's a lot of top-down thinking about how to make things work and how to make a story come out in the structure that's most interesting to readers. But all my favorite parts are the stuff that just comes out of nowhere. You know, when I get something about a character that doesn't fit with the rest of them, that's the part I want, because I know it's going to be interesting. I know it's all going to tie in later. I don't know how.
Right.
But when I'm reading books too, that's the part that grabs me as a reader too, is when a character, you want to recognize characters. You know, you don't want to stereotype, but you want to look at that person and be like, oh my gosh, that's totally like my Uncle Bob. It's like somebody that you know in your life. So you recognize them, but it's the moment when they step outside of that type and do something interesting that's totally them that catches me as a reader and gets me interested. And it's the same thing with writing. You know, if I've got a character that's just very consistent, I am not interested in them. I'm very bored by them, and
okay.
I want them to do something surprising before I'm willing to write them a book.
Right. I would imagine that your education in psychology and your work with counseling helps you probably to write characters. Do you do that consciously, or does that just kind of flow into your work?
So I have a dual bachelor's in history and psychology, which again, my mother is like, see, this is the perfect degree for a person who is going to be a writer.
I kind of love your mother.
I knew it all. I love my mother, too. She's so funny. When my first book came out, I have the sideline to tell you this story. It's mm-hmm. so cute. But when my first book came out, she texted or emailed personally every person she has ever met to tell them to buy my book. Like, she didn't group email. She didn't, like, put it on Facebook. She went down her list of contacts and individually contacted every person she has ever met, including the midwife who delivered me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that she still had the contact information for the midwife who delivered you. That's amazing.
I know. Well, she's one of those people with a Christmas card list, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So is there a... sorry. So dual major. Yep.
Yeah, the psychology and history. So psychology and history is sort of like how people work on an individual basis and then how they work on a group basis.
Mm-hmm.
you know, how they work in groups and the behavior that they demonstrate as groups. So it is a really well-rounded education for writing books, and I find myself drawing on history and drawing on psychology and drawing on everything that I learned from working with clients all those years. But I don't like sit down and try to make psychological profiles of them from my training. I like to develop characters a little bit more organically than that. But I do think it helps to develop characters to have that education. But I kind of do it in more of the story genius way. There's a craft book called Story Genius, and you kind of work backwards from the beliefs that a character has formed about life that are wrong and that are not serving them. You know, for instance, if you have a character with a lot of insecurity, it will get them to act in certain ways that aren't really in their best interest. And so you work backwards from these misbeliefs that they've developed about life through their experiences, and you set up a plot that's going to challenge them and make them change, and show them that, you know, they need to change their mind about who they are and about their world in order to have a better life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. Do you have a least favorite part about writing?
I shouldn't admit this in public. Revising. I sometimes have trouble fitting the traditional storytelling kind of structure and all the things that you're supposed to do in a book to the ideas that feel true in my head, you know, because what's most important to me is that the story feels real and true, and that it feels like something that really happened. And then sometimes I'm an editor too. I work as a book coach and an editor. And so I know all the boxes you're supposed to check, and I know the structures that you're supposed to use that readers respond to. But sometimes it's hard for me to take those cognitively and fit them to my inspiration without making it feel like it dies a little bit, you know? So I'm always working really hard with that to write a good story with strong structure and good writing craft, but that also stays true to that inspiration. And that's why I think I tend to write a lot of weird books that are a little bit what people don't expect. When I signed with my agent, it was interesting because I've sent her a few different books now, and they're all wildly different from one another. And she loves all of them, God bless her, but they are not the same kind of book, you know, because in a certain sense, I'm always kind of going off into the weeds to follow what I think is interesting instead of, you know, what is the safest bet.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great, though. Keeps you interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have advice then for other authors?
It's literally my job.
Yes.
Like I said, I work as a book coach for Author Accelerator, which is an amazing program to help aspiring authors. And then I also work as a freelance editor. But my best advice for aspiring authors is Pitch Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's a contest where you enter and compete to be chosen. And the ones who are chosen get a mentor, you know, some agented or published writer who works with you on your manuscript, helps you make it better, and then puts it in front of agents. But it's a lot more than that. You meet a lot of people while you're competing to enter the contest, and a lot of good writing craft information gets passed around on the Twitter feed. And so you meet writers, you learn a lot about writing, and then you have a chance to get high-level mentorship. And so it's just such an incredible opportunity on all levels. You know, I can talk writing advice all day, but Pitch Wars is kind of like the one-stop shop for where to get good stuff if you really are serious about being a writer.
Yeah, we've actually had other authors, both mentors and mentees on the podcast who have participated in that process. So it sounds like it's a really good thing to not only get you help with the writing process, but also get you connected with a network of people that can be so supportive and helpful.
Yeah, and that's so important. Yeah, Pitch Wars has helped thousands of writers already. Shout out to Brenda Drake for starting it. She's done a lot of good in this world with that.
Yeah, great. When you have time to read, who are your favorite authors and genres?
Lainey Taylor, number one. Maggie Stiefvater, John Green's A Fault in Our Stars is one of my top five favorites. Patrick Rothfuss, Name of the Wind. I really love love stories, but I probably read even more YA contemporary than I do adult romance. I really love The Voice, how fresh and honest it comes out.
Okay, thank you for that. Where can people find you on social media, and do you have a website?
My website is michellehazenbooks.com. I'm on Twitter as Michelle Hazen. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Michelle Hazen Author, and it's Hazen, H-A-Z-Z as in zebra, E-N. Sometimes people spell it with an S, but if you know it has a Z in it, you can find me pretty much everywhere. Well, just Googling it.
So. Okay. Thank you. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to talk about, whether that's in terms of your writing or your books or just anything that we haven't covered and you would like to speak about it now?
You know, I think the thing that's different about my books is I try to write love stories that feel real. I think a lot of people think of romance as a genre that's based on fantasy, but I don't think that a story has to be unrealistic to be romantic. I think it can be more involving to readers to see love work out in the context of lives as messy and complicated as the reader's own lives.
Yeah, I agree. I think the romance novels I read in high school gave me a completely unrealistic view of what relationships would be like once I was in them.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So
right.
So I could have used you in high school, and maybe I would have had a more realistic idea about the world. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your weekend to talk to me. I really appreciate it. The book is A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, and there are 5 other books in the series. So that is you're calling it the Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll series. Am I getting that right?
Yep.
Okay. So that is the series. Thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. It was so fun talking to you.
Thank you again to Michelle for taking the time out of her weekend to talk to me about her book, A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, as well as her series, the Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll series. If you are intrigued by this book, if you like romances that aren't maybe your typical or traditional kinds of romance, then you should definitely check out A Cruel Kind of Beautiful, and you should definitely enter to win a copy. So as I said at the beginning of the podcast, we are changing the way we do the entry process a little bit. So we had been doing different entries for different social media. So sharing, retweeting, or commenting. And that got to be a little complicated or maybe a little confusing. And so from some feedback I've gotten, I've decided to just go ahead and make that commenting across the board. So if you want to enter into this giveaway for A Cruel Kind of Beautiful by Michelle Hazen, you just need to go to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram pages. And those links are in the show description. Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and comment on episode 75, the post with episode 75 linked to it. Not on any of the retweets, not on any of the shared things. You have to comment on that original post. So it's not hard. Just go to one of our social media platforms and make a quick comment and you'll be entered into that giveaway. We've been having some great response on the giveaways and it's been a lot of fun to kind of meet new people through social media. I mean, I don't exactly meet them, but you win books and I get to say hi and I get to send you books. It's awesome. I love giving gifts and I love being able to send you books. So come on, enter the giveaways. You know you want to. At any rate, thank you again for joining me today for this episode. Thank you to my guest, Michelle Hazen. I hope that you will join me again on Thursday when I will be interviewing author Julia Whalen about her book, My Oxford Year. And it is about a young woman who gets a Rhodes Scholarship, so spends a year in Oxford. You get to immerse yourself in Oxford and in England. And there's lots of fun things that happen in that book. Don't want to give too much away, though. So we'll talk about that on Thursday and be speaking with Julia about that book. So join me again on Thursday. Thank you so much for the time that you spend with me every week. I hope you're having a wonderful week full of wonderful books. If you are having a wonderful week full of wonderful books, then you should get back to it. If you are having a wonderful week without wonderful books, you gotta go find yourself a wonderful book so that you can do what I tell you to do at the end of every podcast, which is to get lost in a good book. Thank you. See you on Thursday.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network.
from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.